Your world, your challenges, your faith. When faith within engages the world without, there's power. It's living life from the inside out.
It's graduation season, a time when commencement speakers encourage graduates to charge into the world and make it a better place. But as the rest of us in the audience listen to the inspiring words, it could be hard not to think that we failed. I mean, seriously, how different is the world since our own graduations, when we set out to end racism or war or human trafficking? I'm Martha Menikas Foster, and today on Family Life's Inside Out, I'm speaking with Timothy Shorey, a book author and the lead pastor of Risen Hope Church near Philadelphia. His recent article for the Gospel Coalition caught my eye. It's titled, "Christian, You Don't Have to Change the World." Welcome, Tim, to Inside Out.
Thank you, Martha. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here.
Tim, I have really appreciated your article and some of the blogs that I have just recently read. I know you've been married 42 years, and you have 40 years of pastoral ministry experience. So you speak out of that experience when you write this article. But I think that some might say that the title throws cold water on every graduation speech ever written. The title of your article is, "Christian, You Don't Have to Change the World." So here's the question. Aren't we as Christians called to change the world?
Yeah, that's a... You know, titles are interesting. They have a way of communicating things, perhaps in a jarring kind of way. Certainly, there is one sense in which everything we are called to be and do, and loving the Lord our God, loving our neighbor, being called to holiness and good works, all of those things, they change the world. They change at least the part of the world that we live in and the part of the world that we touch with our character, with our love, with our kindness and the rest. But there's a change of the world of vocabulary and language, as I think it's normally used, that, you know, can actually create aspirations and expectations that end up being distracting to us and maybe even discouraging, maybe even leading us to a sense of failure. The title for the article kind of grew out of, and I say this in the article, but title grew out of driving by a billboard that was aimed at college students. And it said, "Be the spark to change the world." And it just made me think, well, I'm, 40 years out of college, and I'm not sure I've been the spark that's changed the world. And where my mind goes at that point can be either toward discouragement or despair, or somehow or other I have to process that. What have I changed the world? Or am I called to something maybe a little different than that? And that's what the article tries to aim at.
So I noticed in the blog version of the article, you say, "I've had my hands full and the world hasn't been set ablaze." I really appreciated that sentence. And so I'm wondering, is it okay that we don't cause systemic change, or could we just be justifying failure?
Well, the answer to that would be on a very personal basis. If we have not produced change, it could be because we're lazy and haven't even tried and are indifferent to the world around us. But on the other hand, it could be that the change that we are looking for or expecting is something different than what God intends. It may be that the change God intends is for us to walk faithfully and walk obediently and to actually care for the people that are right in front of us in meaningful ways. And part of what I try to express is that, you know, as a pastor, you know, the way I put it, something like this in the article, my life is consumed with the young guy in pew six that's dealing with porn, or the or the widow with the two children who's just trying to survive, and you know the list can go on and on. And some might look at that and say, "Well, there hasn't been any systemic change. There hasn't been any, you know, world-altering ministry. But there has been a commitment by the God's grace to do what I can with the people that are right in front of me, to cross my path by God's design, and to do that to as many as possible. And not be lazy, and not be indifferent. How can I affect some change in people's lives that will produce lasting transformation? Yeah, it's a fine balance. There is a godly ambition that I think we need to have. I mean, Paul talks about being ambitious to take the gospel where it's never gone before in Romans 15. That's pretty ambitious. And there is a godly ambition. But I think we just have to be careful how we measure success in that, and not be doing that in the way that the world typically would.
Well, Tim, let me just take a moment and reset. For those who've just joined us, you're listening to the Inside Out podcast on family life. I'm talking today with pastor and author Timothy Shorey about what it means to follow God's call into the world. Now, I think, Tim, my next question might be almost a repeat of part of what we just finished talking about, but I guess what's at the center of my question is this, as I think about it. What are Jesus followers called to do and be? And what if we're obedient, but at the end of our lives, people, they still suffer from the big things that concern us now. They still don't have clean drinking water, and orphans are still waiting for adoption.
Yeah. As I reflect on the question, it strikes me as there's a bit of, it's not an either or, but a both and kind of response to this. We are called. I think what we are explicitly called to in Scripture is to love the Lord our God, to love our neighbor as ourself, to do kindness and justice as best we can in a fallen world, and to care for people so that they would come to a saving knowledge of Christ and then walk on in that faith till the end of their journey as they enter into glory. Those are the explicit callings and commands of God upon our life. Now, where it becomes more challenging is, okay, there is doing that in the individual situation. Then there's a question of how might we do more to affect more people. And that's when you begin to think in terms, you know, as a church, for example, we very actively support some orphan ministries in Zambia and Ethiopia and other countries. And here in this country, we're active in caring for the unborn. And in our own church, you know, very ethnically diverse, we have somewhere between 15 and 20 different ethnic roots in our congregation of about, 125 people or so. Remarkable. And for us, that means, you know, at the church level, we have to be committed to racial understanding and dialogue. And I guess in a sense, it's almost systemic, just at a very local level. How do we make sure that we are living in as much understanding and harmony and grace and, where needed, justice and so forth at this level? And then, you know, if God spills that over, so to speak, into bigger context, then praise the Lord for that. But I mean, yesterday I had lunch with an old college friend who has been in faithful pastoral ministry in a church that has, I think he said, never exceeded 100 people. He's been there for the last 35 years. And I just look at that and I say, that's faithfulness. You know, some will look at that and say, well, what did he accomplish in his life? Well, you know, over 35 years, there's been a lot of lives changed and touched by his ministry, and he's just stayed faithful in it. Yeah. If we're given opportunities to provide more clean drinking water or care for orphans or adoption, then we need to seize those and pursue those. But we just need to be careful that we're not, as I say, defining success or even calling as the world does. Because again, it sounds a bit cliched, but it is, I believe, with all my heart, it is faithfulness more than fruitfulness that God is looking for in our lives. Well done, good and faithful servant, is going to be the commendation, I hope and pray, the Lord speaks over us on that day. So it's not either or. It can be both and, but I think it's, where do we start?
Right. And what's
do
the
we
core?
Focus on? Yeah. What's the core?
Yeah. In your article, you say the big picture is really a composite of 7 billion little pictures. And that helped me get a sense of what you're saying. You know, do you know those photographs they make? They're like a collage. There's one large photo, but it's made up of hundreds and hundreds of little photos. That's what came to mind when I saw that sentence. Exactly.
That was, I actually had the same image in my mind as I was writing it. That is like, exactly. Exactly. It looks like a big picture, but wait a minute.
Yes.
There's a hundred, there's a thousand little pictures inside of this big one. And if we get caught up in how the world defines and values leadership and success, then the peril very often has been, and as you read biographies and just kind of catch the history of men and women who have been deemed successful or heroic or the rest, too many times you read sad stories of marriages that have gone bad or children neglected or character issues that emerge. And so the individuals in people's lives that maybe are out there changing the world, but the individuals in their lives are being left behind. And maybe character at times is being left behind
Too many times. Yeah. So if we're saying, in a sense, we're called to faithful obedience, a faithful, steady obedience. And then when and if those larger opportunities come our way, we continue to be faithful and steady and also take on, maybe with others like our church or our small group, take on the larger, quote unquote, world-changing kinds of tasks. Then you're saying that's the way forward. So would you take a moment now to encourage people listening? The pastor who is pastoring a church of 100 that's never been more than 100, and he reads books that say, you know, in 2 weeks I changed my congregation from a storefront from 2 people to 7,000 and we have 14 campuses, you know, that pastor, or the parishioner who feels like, you know what, I take care of an elderly parent or I take care of an elderly neighbor and that's not changing the world. Could you give us some words of encouragement for people who keep loving Jesus and their neighbors, but haven't even come close to changing, quote unquote, changing the world?
I love the question, and I love the impulse behind it. It just jumped into my mind, an opportunity I had this past Friday. There is a Christian school in Philadelphia that the principal asked me if I could jump on a Zoom call with her staff to pray with them and encourage them for a few minutes, and I was delighted to do that. And when she contacted me asking me this, the first text that came to my mind was in Hebrews chapter 6, where it says that God is not unjust to overlook our deeds of love and the work that we're doing in behalf of the saints, in behalf of God's people. And I brought that to that school staff, just saying, you know, look, what you're day in, day out, you're pouring yourself into these young lives. And there may be times when it feels like it's unappreciated and unrecognized, but God is not unjust to overlook what you are doing. I shared with them that verse along with the one that I just referenced, well done, good and faithful servant, are probably motivationally, those couple of verses have probably impacted my life and ministry more than just about any others. That God doesn't forget. He doesn't overlook our steady obedience. He doesn't overlook our faithful service. He doesn't overlook our care for the saints, whether it's in some quote-unquote big way or whether it's the elderly saint living next door or perhaps living in our own home that God has called us to. Mm-hmm. And that's not changing the world, but it certainly is changing that person's world, or we are affecting our world, the world we live in. God does not overlook our faithfulness. Indeed, he rewards it. He blesses it. He will one day commend it and crown it with a reward. And I would want people who are in the everydayness of just caring for the people that are around them to feel the Lord's smile on them. And I would want people to have faith. You know, if the Lord gives you opportunity to do a bit more and to make a difference in a different way, then seize that. But at the end of the day, it's not us. God alone is the one that can do the work. And there are missionaries who have served. I've read of them, biographies, who have served in the same place for 30 years and have never had a convert. And then there are those that seem to step off the plane and converts are flooding in. And, you know, in the sight of God, who is more successful or faithful? Well, the world would define it one way. I think our Savior defines it differently.
Oh, beautiful and wise and encouraging. Thank you, Tim, for writing this article. Thank you for the way that you minister, and thank you for joining me here today on Inside Out.
Martha, thank you for inviting me. I hope that listeners are encouraged and God is honored. So really appreciate it. It's been a joy.
Thank you. I have looked forward to it, and I am glad that we have talked. My guest has been author and pastor Timothy Shorey. You can learn more about Tim and his ministry and his books by visiting his website, timothyshorey.com. That's Timothy, SHOREY.com. I'm Martha Manikas Foster with Inside Out on Family Life.